Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Krista Joy from DisneyWays.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Ridley Pearson is the best-selling author of more than 50 novels. His work has been published in 24 languages, adapted by network television and for the Broadway stage. We are so excited to have him back on the Disney Parks Podcast to talk about some of the exciting new things he's been up to lately. Ridley, welcome to the show.
Woo-hoo, thank you.
Hey, you know, it's great having you back on. We loved having you on the first time. You have a lot of great stories to tell us, and I am sure you will not disappoint and come out with some great new books. Now, since you've been gone, there's two books.
That's a song, you know.
Yes, that's very true. So since you've been gone, The Syndrome.
Since you've been gone.
The Syndrome came out January of 2015, and now we have.
Yeah, actually, it came out about 2 weeks ago. We thought it was coming out January, and it came out March 3rd.
Okay.
And then The Return, which is the three-book series that follows the Kingdom Keepers with the same characters and stuff, comes out March 31st.
Wow.
So it's been a whirlwind lately. Yeah, The Syndrome has so much fun for me to do. It kind of, in a weird way, it connects the first series of seven books to this next series. When I was out on the road for the... I think Kingdom Keepers 6 and Kingdom Keepers 7, I would often ask crowds if I were to do a series, which I wasn't sure I would. Would they prefer that I do a book or a series with the same characters in it or set in the theme parks? Because I wasn't sure I could do both. And I would take a vote. And much to my dismay, it came out dead even every place I went.
Wow.
And so there was nothing worse than that, because then nobody would make the decision for me. So in looking at another series, you know, I do as much work as I can online to get kids writing and write with me. Book 7 had a lot of that in it. And, you know, it's something I'm pretty passionate about. And lo and behold, along the way, as I was forming all these ideas for a possible sequel series, here's the deal. I did not want to write the same book and just put a different title on it. You know, that happens a lot in middle readers and in series like this. And I just didn't want to be one of these repeat artists that sort of called it something different but basically wrote the same book. I wanted it to feel fresh, feel different. All the stars aligned. And I got an email from a 10 or 11-year-old boy called Nick out of New England. And he had this idea that totally made sense to me because it fit in right to what I was thinking about. But he put it into these great terms, and off I went. So I've got this little collaborative effort from a little spark of an email by a reader named Nick. And I'm going to get three books out of it. I'm really, really excited by it.
Wow. That's great.
That's wonderful. And I love you acknowledged him on the Facebook page, which was really cool, too.
Oh, yeah. What an amazing thing. So The Syndrome, there are these three characters in the first Kingdom Keepers series, which is just called Kingdom Keepers. And I call them fairies because they're fairly human. They're kids. We've always heard about these kids, but they're, you know, the kids who can bend spoons and the kids who can hear better than most of us. And they're almost supernatural, except they're humans. It isn't like, you know, Marvel Comics or something. These are real kids, but they've got these pretty amazing abilities. Two of them claim to be sisters, even though they aren't, Jess and Amanda. And Jess, when she goes to sleep at night, and dreams like we all do, some of her dreams end up glimpses of the future. And Amanda has had, since she was very young, in her early teens, the ability to sort of get mad at something and physically move it. And over a period of years, she's worked on trying to hone that into a less random effort and actually have some bit of a control over it. And in this place that they've been taken, they met a girl named Maddie Beaver, who can, it's almost like the old gypsies who can tell your fortune. And, you know, they would first sort of put their hands around your hands. When Maddie touches you, she can get glimpses of what you're thinking. And so the syndrome, which is the first of the books we're talking about, is written from the point of view of all three girls. So there's an Amanda chapter, a Jess chapter, a Maddie chapter, a Jess chapter, an Amanda chapter. And they've lost track of the Kingdom Keepers, and they're trying to figure out where they've gone and get them back. So it ends up just, it was just such a fun book to write. And that leads into this new series, The Return, that I'll be out in the park for. Gosh, next week sometime, I think.
Yes, it's coming up soon. I love that. What a great way to kind of, you know, switch it up a little bit and come from a different angle with the syndrome. That's
great. And it was so fun. I love writing single point of view, you know, and I rarely get a chance to do it. And I have some terrific young women writers who have studied under me. And so what I did was I outlined the entire book, and then I took the voice of Amanda, and I allowed / hired two of my best intern students to write the voices of Jess and Maddie. And then as they sent those in, I had to do quite a bit of rewriting on them. But the neat thing is that we really do have three separate voices in this telling a single story. And it's so it's a standalone book. It has all the flavor of a Kingdom Keeper, but a very different feel because it's from the point of view of three young women. So it's really fun.
Yeah, I love that. It really kind of gives it some authenticity when you have, you know, and women writing it from, you know, girls' point of view.
Yeah,
that's really neat.
Nothing like having late teens write late teens.
Yes.
And these women are such good writers that they just did a fabulous job. So
I was
it's
gonna
been really a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was gonna quote a Jack Nicholson movie quote, but you might know the one I'm talking about, where the they asked Jack, you know, how do you write like a woman? You take out reasoning.
I know. What's his reply?
You take out a reasoning.
That would be Nicholson. That's like his. Isn't he in Five Easy Pieces where he orders the sandwich and has everything taken out of it but the middle or something? And the waiter can't even understand that. He keeps saying, no, you take away the bread, you take away the that's what I want. What? No, I thought it's a DLC. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
So tell us also a little about this other book that's coming out March 31st, The Return to Disneylands.
That is the big blast off. So it's The Return, and it's two different words, Disneylands. And I have basically fallen in love with every Imagineer out there. And every one of my readers I speak to says, I want to be an Imagineer. And I say, well, get out of the way, because I do too. You know, these Disney Imagineers are just the most amazingly creative, fun, just terrific people. And so in The Return, Disneylands, we meet the Kingdom Keepers a little bit after the end of book 7, and several of them are headed to be students at the Disney School of Imagineering, DSI. And envisioning such a place was so much fun for me. So the most of these young employees of the company that are kind of a quasi-intern but also an employee, they live in a hotel much like Tower of Terror. In fact, it was a model for Tower of Terror. And so it's once been through an earthquake and a fire and stuff, but some of its wings have been renovated, and the kids stay in there. And as we know from Tower of Terror, there's, you know, this giant basement filled with steam you know, steam tubes and tunnels and elevators. And in my story, there's dumb waiters and all this crazy excitement is going around within that place while the Kingdom Keeper's Sin is discovering that something unbelievably magical happens when you put together something in Walt Disney's apartment with one of the attractions. And the first time it happens to him, he doesn't even know what happened, because the Kingdom Keepers are these five kids who were used as models for holograms in the park to be these hologram guides. And they've had this weird thing happen where when they go to sleep, they occasionally actually become those holograms in the park after dark and face off against the Disney villains. And Finn, in this book, actually thinks he has dreamed while being a hologram, which as far as they know is impossible. But what happened to him was so extraordinary, he assumes it had to have been a dream. And at first, he can't replicate how it happened. But as the book goes on, he does, and they go someplace that I think everyone who loves Disney will be doing backflips over.
It's so interesting and intricate. I can see why people are just such huge fans and just can't wait for the next book to come out.
I have so much fun with these books. I do a billion drafts of them, and that can drive me crazy. But I just so love writing these books, and I am the characters. I'm in the characters. I do all this research in the park. So my research for the last year and a half has been in Disneyland, which may tell you why it's called Disneyland. And you may be able to figure out something else from that title, because usually when something lands, it arrives. And I just this week made my second big, it's like a pilgrimage to Disney Archives out in Burbank. And the wonderful people there, Kevin and Becky Klein, just took me deep into the Disneyland park's past, including this unbelievable library of photographs that they let me into. And I spent hours in there with a couple of assistants pouring through these
for any Disney freak, this room was this giant library of nothing but photographs on proof sheets in a million loose leaf folders.
And I got to go in there and find everything that I was going to have in this next second book, real true to life in these photographs. And it just was the most exciting thing ever.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Like a blast.
Yeah, that was actually going to be one of my questions. Just what was that like to go into the archives? There's people that would just love to have that kind of access. That's really, really cool.
Yeah, it's just so cool. I was particularly interested in opening day. And you know, there's thousands of kids, and they all are, all the young girls are dressed in full dresses and stop at their knees and little bows in their hair. I found in all the photos, I found two women, one a young girl and one a middle-aged woman wearing slacks. Everybody else wore a dress that day. And all the young men wore khakis or gray flannel, slacks, a button-down shirt, a tie, and a sport coat.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's really otherworldly.
Yeah. You know,
just so fun.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Do you know about Dapper Days? Have you heard of that?
Sure. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I bet they'll have some people.
The Dappers play a role in the Kingdom Keeper series, so yes, I do know.
Oh, wow. I love it. Yeah, yeah. I bet they'll have some people like cosplaying some of your characters for Dapper Day this year and next year.
That's amazing. It's such a great place. The parks are so, so fun.
It really is.
I don't ever get tired of them.
I know, right? And you blend so much real life park things, like real life things with fantasy in such a wonderful way. That must be really fun.
You don't have to make any of this stuff up. I mean, that just gets me. You know, I go into these rides at 4:00 in the morning. And I mean, I just shot a Disney 365 for the Disney Channel. And for the first time ever, Disney let us shoot it at night after the park had closed, just like my books. And so we are, you know, we are running down Main Street, a dead, empty Main Street with the lights off. And, you know, it's just creepy out of your mind. So you, as a writer, you don't have to have very much vision to see how crazy and nutty this could be if you were in there at 3 a.m. It's so fun.
It really is.
Yeah. Is there anything that you do in the parks or during your research that you just kind of like pinch yourself and go, wow, I just can't believe I just did that?
Yes, really all of it, Tony. It's
I bet.
It really is, just because what I think what happened to me is once they granted me this backstage access at all hours, I thought that after a trip or two, it would become kind of routine. And it is 100% different every time I go. Every time I go is a pinch me moment. I feel like, you know, I'm a kid in a candy shop, that I get to do this in the first place. And almost every time I go, something really bizarre happens that it finds itself into the book somewhere. Whether it's two dolls at Small World moving when the ride is shut down, that happened to me. And I jumped like 5 feet out of the boat. And, you know, the guy I was with said, those dolls didn't move. And I said, dude, I saw those dolls move. So, you know, you do these things, and then you hear from people, and they write, and they say, hey, I've seen 4 dolls move. And then you think, okay, I'm not crazy. There's so much wonderful opportunity. I think because the parks are so clever and so well thought out, you know, they aren't those amusement parks where they're just trying to make you feel gravity or spin you around. Every single Disney attraction, practically every view that you have, has a booklet written up on it by the Imagineers, giving it a beginning, a middle, and an end. So everything we do in those parks tells us a story, and we don't often open our eyes to the story being told. But as a writer, I hope I'm getting better at going in there and being able to see not only those stories, but other stories that are possible within those attractions or within those spaces.
Yeah, I agree, because I think that's what makes Disney's brand and Disney's parks completely different from everybody else that's out there, is that story, you know, the fore story and even the background story, because some of these attractions have books. Besides yours, I mean, like, the whole history of, like, the Haunted Mansion is like a whole book, and it's crazy that an attraction can have that much backstory.
Well, that's the thing. These guys, when I talked to Disney about it, they said, oh, yeah, I mean, we worked for years on the backstory and on the front story, and we have notebooks and notebooks and notebooks of typewritten pages that tell that story. And then you get on the ride, maybe you see it, maybe you don't, but we know exactly why everything you're looking at is there. You know, it all has a purpose to tell you a visual story of what's going on.
Yeah.
And then when you hear their version of the story, it's fascinating. And you realize the depth that they put into this. You know, it's so, so cool.
Yeah. On your website, I was reading some of the excerpt that you have for the book, Return to Disneylands. And I noticed, maybe it was me, maybe I was reading too quickly, but it looked like there was some real Disney employees' names being used.
Oh, yeah, there are.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I guess Disney's okay with that?
It's left and right. Well, we'll see. No, yeah. I get permission, and these guys are so great to grant me the right to put them into the books. And, you know, they don't demand to see it or anything. They just say, nah, I'd be honored, you know, and off you go. And, you know, if one of them changes their mind, then I'm going to be in a lot of courts.
So
I hope that doesn't happen.
Nah.
But so far, I haven't turned them into axe murderers or anything. You know, generally, they're pretty cool people doing pretty cool things.
That's great. Well, we have some Imagineers that listen to the show, and it sounds like they're going to be huge fans of this one. It's really cool.
I don't know. I'm sure a fan of them. I can't praise the Imagineers enough. And, you know, they haven't rested on their laurels, which is something I think they could have done. And that, it seems to me like you go into the new Fantasyland in Disney World, and it's
as well, if not better, thought out, you know, as well, if not better engineered than anything we've ever seen in those parks. Ariel's Grotto, I don't know if you've been in there in Fantasyland. Oh my gosh, the audio animatronics they've got in there are unbelievable. Their faces move with expressions, mouths. You know, it just gets better and better.
It does. It does. And we've heard some things about Avatar Land. That's the figures they're coming up with for that. Just going to be mind-blowing.
Nobody will tell me anything.
Oh.
usually I can get the inside scoop on this stuff, and they're not letting me know anything about Avatar Land, so you guys are lucky. But I'm sure excited by it.
We'll fill you.
I'm ready to jump out of a tree and land on a bird. They're going to let us do that, right?
I think they're going to let you do that.
Yeah, I wish.
I think it's going to happen. It may not be a real bird. It'll be a very good...
That may be how they try to get rid of me. They'll say, hey, Julie, climb this tree over here and jump. Don't worry, a bird's going to land right under you.
That'll be in the next book.
It'll probably happen in 3D, too.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'll be 2D once I land.
Well, and I just want to mention your social media, too, because I love following you, and I want to let everybody know you've got a Facebook page, and you did something really fun recently on Twitter, something about Find Ridley at Disneyland, which was interesting.
Yeah, try to make it fun. You know, you can promote yourself to death on social media, but we try to use crazy things, so I disappear every now and then. Recently, I had an amazing little journey into the past, and I believe when I was gone, there was some Twitter folks trying to find me. No one did find me. I want you to know that.
Okay.
Because I didn't return until just the other day. And you'll know what that means if you read The Return.
Uh-huh. Right on. There you go.
And I'm going
together.
All over the country. Speaking of our website, I have a massive book tour coming up. And we're posting now where I'm going to be on there. But it includes both parks, Disney World and Disneyland, that starts in about 10 days, I think. And I'm just, I'm quite excited about all this. I love getting out and meeting the readers. It just makes my whole year. So I'm really looking forward to that aspect of it.
Oh, we love meeting you too. So just to fill everybody in, what we've heard from Disney so far is that you are coming to Orlando March 25th and 26th. And how it works is if you go to meet Ridley, you'll be among the first to pick up two of his newest releases. So The Return and also The Cinderella will be there. And it's 4 to 6 p.m. at Once Upon a Toy at Downtown Disney Marketplace on the 25th. And then on the 26th from 9 to 11 a.m. at Writer's Stop in Hollywood Studios. And how they're doing it this time is there's going to be wristbands that they're going to be given out to the guests at the store open on the day of the signing. Yes. Yes. So, and then the wristband, once those are out, they're out and nobody else can get in line. So it's going to be kind of an interesting way that they do
it. That's a heck of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll meet you at the fountain if I run out of wristbands. That would be a nice problem to have. I doubt that'll happen. We'll see.
Oh, I think it's going to happen, Ridley.
It's going to happen, yeah.
we're counting on it happening. We know it's going to.
Your lips to Walt's ears. Yeah, and then at the end of that week, I go out to Disneyland and sign on that Friday and Saturday, I think. So it's really going to be a fun time for me. I love going to the park. So.
Being that you've been in both parks behind the scenes and everything, do you have a favorite? It's probably hard to choose, but do you have one that you like more than the other? Disneyland or Disney World?
East versus West?
Yeah.
The first time I went to Disneyland, I found it small, but it's never happened since. So either I shrank or it grew. I love the downtown Disney being right connected to the parks in Disneyland. Mm-hmm. And I love California Adventure. I think they've just done a marvelous job of, the World of Color, Fantasmic on the other side. They don't miss a beat. And of course, it's where it all began. So I'm a huge Disney World fan.
because I've had so much wonderful backstage experience there. But as I've started writing about Disneyland, I've really come to appreciate it for what it is and really how different it is, while being the same in so many ways. It's very different, down to where you'll go on a ride like Peter Pan, which is one of my favorite rides, and it's very different in Disneyland than it is in Disney World. Even though, in a lot of ways, if you just kind of squint your eyes, it's the same ride. So, you know, I love the challenge of seeing the differences in the various places.
Yeah,
that's how I feel, too.
Yeah, if you think about what they have in Disneyland, it's so compact into that small space that we take for granted here at Disney World. I think the storytelling and where your view lines are very much directed there as compared to Disney World, where it's this vast space.
Yes. Yeah. But they, you know, thanks to Force Perspective and all of that, it feels big, it feels open. The attractions are just as fun. It's really cool what they've done. And my personal preference right now for attractions and, you know, one particular park is Epcot. I've been on an Epcot tear for a few years now. And also Hollywood Studios. But, you know, there's just nothing like the Magic Kingdom in Disney World and Disneyland's Main Street USA and all of that in Disneyland. Those places are so iconic and so true Disney that you, at least I can't help but love them and appreciate and enjoy them every time I'm there.
Absolutely. So
which
true.
Is a lot. I spend a lot of my time in those parks and I never regret it. I always have fun.
That's good to hear. Yeah. It helps to be a true fan when, you know, we're working around this stuff all the time. And Tony and I feel the same way. Like each park is very special in its own way. And like, I never like that question, which one's your favorite? Because they're so different, you know, and you can't compare them.
I turn that back on kids in schools because I speak at schools, and inevitably they ask me what my favorite attraction is. And my answer is, do you have two parents? And they say, yes, usually. And I say, and who's your favorite? And they turn beet red and say, never mind. It's just so hard to pick favorites, you know?
Yes, very
it's
true.
It's really, really hard.
My favorite attraction is the last one I was on.
Exactly. And the first one I'll be on tomorrow.
Right. We read about how there's another book, The Quest, that's coming for the Animal Kingdom. Do we have a date for that book?
Not a book, but a tour.
Tour, okay.
Yeah, I've written two quests, which school groups do, and actually families can do it if they can collect 10 people or more. And you go through Youth Educational Services, and they give you discount passes into the park, and you take the Kingdom Keeper's Quest. So I did one for the Magic Kingdom, and it was hugely popular. And they asked me if I would do one for the Animal Kingdom. And so I did those. Now, these things are really difficult for me to do. They take months and months and months of work. But it's so great when they're finally done, because then they're just installed there. And if you get kind of a booklet, and I've made math and language arts challenges, and you're led around on kind of a fact-based scavenger hunt. And you become, as you do, you become a Kingdom Keeper because you're going to the places in the park that the book takes you to. So people had been reliving the Kingdom Keepers in the Magic Kingdom for several years, and it actually became something of a problem. So Disney, through my publisher, contacted me and said, what can we do about this? Your fans are trying to get backstage here and there and doing this and that. And I said, you know, let's plan out something fun for them to do. So we did these quests, and school groups come from all over the country and do them, something like 80,000 a year. And it's just really, really fun. So I expanded it out into Animal Kingdom, and I hope at some point we may expand out into Epcot.
Wow, that sounds interesting. There's a lot of these puzzle games and more intellectual games popping up here in Orlando, too. They're like, they'll lock you in a room, and you have to figure out, like, 12 puzzles to get out of the room. Wow. Yeah, so it, that seems like along those lines where it's math and English for youth groups, and it's kind of along the same lines as this couple and popping up, and it, they seem to be very popular, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, you know, hopefully it's fun because it's basically what the Kingdom Keepers have to do when they're challenged in this book or that book. They've got to go in and figure out that if, you know, if they count the letters as numbers, not as letters, and put those numbers together, that that leads them to here. And then, you know, an image there means something more deep if they think about it in terms of chapter six. And it's really fun. And it's, I've done it with groups several times, and it's so fun for me because we offer the kids the chance at every attraction to ride the attraction, and 9.9 times out of 10 they say no, they would rather continue on the quest. And so in a way, the Disney people who travel with me are scratching their head saying, wait a second, they don't even want to go on the ride, they just want to do the quest. But it's really, you know, it's really been an eye-opener and a lot of fun for it. Kids like to learn when you make it fun. That's it.
That'd be something great that you should sell to Disney as a, you know, for adults and families to do in the park.
I know, exactly. And we've approached them, and they resist it. They really just want it organized in the way that they do it. We did, Disney Publishing put two smaller quests in the 2013 and 2014 Disney guides, the park guides, but then for 15 we didn't do it. So, but those were fun. We got a lot of feedback from families who had bought the guidebooks for those and went on family quests, Kingdom Keepers quests through the parks.
So fun. That's awesome.
Always looking for a way to engage the kids. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. Well, we are just so excited about you and you're coming to Orlando and everywhere around the country. But also, I want to let people know you have a really great website, which is RidleyPearson.com. And you can find links to all of Ridley's social media. I think there's even a way to get autographed books through your website, right?
Left Bank Books in Missouri. Yeah, you bet.
It's awesome. Well, it's really great.
Yeah, for birthdays or just for anybody who wants it without going to a bookstore or whatever. Yeah, you bet.
It's fantastic. So everybody needs to check that out. And also, I know you have some of your books are on audio version, right? Are there any that aren't?
Yes. I don't think, you know, oddly enough, I don't think the Syndrome is, and I don't think the New Return series is. I know they're on ebook, but I don't think they're on audiobook.
Okay.
I don't pay too much attention to that, but then somebody told me they didn't think they were, and I asked my agent, and my agent was going to look into it and said, hey, I think you're right. I'm not sure they are on audio, so we'll see what becomes of that.
Yeah, maybe in the future that'll happen,
right.
So
yeah.
Super exciting. Well, thank you again so much for your time, and we're so looking forward to seeing you, and thanks for being on the show
so
with us.
Wonderful. I can't wait. Oh, my pleasure, my honor, really. So we'll see you in the parks in about 10 days.
We sure will, and that's actually how we usually sign off the show, so we'll see you in the parks.
Hi, I'm Tony.
And I'm Krista. Tune into our show, Stars and Motor Cars, Saturday afternoons at 6 p.m. Eastern on Sorcerer Radio.
Every week, you'll hear us chat with Disney legends, Imagineers, and actors like Pat Carroll, the voice of Ursula.
And I help them?
Yes, I do.
Disney legend and Imagineer Bob Gurr.
Pedro Hare, the voice of Belle.
Feast! Disney Resort TV's Stacey J. Oswald.
And author Ridley Pearson.
And Bill Farmer, the voice of Goofy.
Something wrong here.
And so many more. You'll also hear your favorite Disney Parks Parade music.
Follow us on Twitter at Disney Podcaster and on Facebook.com/Disney Parks Podcast.
To get even more Disney fun, download our sister show, the Disney Parks Podcast, on iTunes. Tune in to Stars and Motor Cars, presented by the Disney Parks Podcast, Saturday afternoons at 6 p.m. Eastern,
3 p.m. Pacific, only on Sorcerer Radio.
SRSounds.com.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc. are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through.